There are a lot of people right now, both in the church and elsewhere, who are questioning what we believe. When we look at the church, both in local congregations and in places like the internet, there are some individuals who are saying that we're wrong. We're dead wrong about some things. I recently received an email from a group of online Christians inviting me to join, and looking at that, it appeared that there were about 500 members in this particular group. It's one of several. And as I took a brief examination as to what some of these people were saying, some of the ideas being advanced almost border on contempt. The current topic is questioning the traditional organization of the church. As I looked at this group and what they were saying, it's been my experience, and maybe it's too limited, but my experience is that most of the contributors who are involved in this kind of thing, they're not really searching for truth or what's right. But generally, I have found that the majority of participants are people who are church bashers, who do not like the instructions that are found in the Bible, and they're looking for some forum, some way to say that we've been wrong in regard to worship and wrong about salvation and wrong about church organization and everything else. Now, as a New Testament Christian, I'm not afraid to have my beliefs challenged. And I trust that that is true of you as well. If we have the truth, we have nothing to fear. But if we have the truth, we certainly at the same time want to be willing to let those with an opposite view come forward and state their case. This is being done more and more, especially in local congregations, and perhaps one of the most frequent allegations that is being made right now is that the Bible is in no way a rule book. It is in no way a guidebook. It is in no way a pattern, a blueprint, or anything else. And that allegation is being made because if the Bible is a pattern, then we're obligated to follow it. If we're not, then of course just about anything would be acceptable. Tonight I want to consider one question with you. That is it fair, is it right, is it God's will that we view the New Testament as a pattern? Now, this study is solely based upon God's Word. We want to see what Scripture says about this topic, and we're going to narrow it down a little bit more. I want to study with you just one single word that was used by the New Testament writers, and this is the word tupos. Very easy to spell. It's T-U-P-O-S. Not a complicated word, and there are additional forms of the word which would expand this study, but I think if we just look at this simple word, we'll find a lot of information that's real helpful. Tupos, again, T-U-P-O-S. Is found 16 times in the New Testament. We can find it, first of all, in the book of Acts, chapter 7, verses 43 and 44. There's a lot of history in Acts 7, and I think for our purposes, a detailed study of that would not be real productive, but we do want to make this point from the 43rd and 44th verses in this chapter. Again, Stephen is recounting Old Testament history, and here's what he says. And ye took up the tabernacle of Moloch and the star of the god Rephan, the figures, that's the word that we want to look at, which he made to worship them. And I will carry you away beyond Babylon. Our fathers had the tabernacle of the testimony in the wilderness, even as he appointed, who spake unto Moses, that he should make it according to the figure that he had seen. Well, this word tupos in verse 43 of Acts 7 is translated figure. The ASV translates it figure once again in verse 44. The King James uses the word fashion. Well, staying with verse 43 for just a minute, the people of Israel made statues. They fashioned statues. Now, consider this question. If you're going to do what the people of Israel did, and that's obviously not recommended, but how would you fashion a figure? Or more specifically, how would you do that to an idol? Did the craftsman one day take out a block of wood and they just, you know, idly said, well, we're going to chip a little bit and whack a little bit and whittle a little bit and that's going to be our idol? Did they do it that way? If they were going to fashion an idol, they had a pattern. They were going to follow an image and to shape it and to work with it instead of making random cuts. And that's really the right sense of the word, because this word, this translated figure, means pattern. And it suggests here that the Hebrew people copied the idols that had been made by others. In verse 44, the same word is used. It here refers to an object, the tabernacle, that is a portable place of worship. And the Bible says it was a figure. Again, the idea of a pattern. And we're going to say a little bit more about verse 44 later in the lesson. But tonight we want to look at some other places which contain this term. The first two times that we find it in the New Testament would be Acts 7, 43 and 44, and we also find it in the next New Testament book, that is the book of Romans. I want to, and we've used this verse at different times, Romans 6, 17. I want to show you how the word is used in Romans chapter 6, because it applies in a very important way when we think about New Testament Christianity. Romans 6, 17, but thanks be to God, that whereas you were servants of sin, ye became obedient from the heart to that form of teaching whereunto Paul says ye were delivered. Notice the word form. That is the same word that's used in Acts 7 verses 43 and 44. And again, a synonym would be the word pattern. Paul knew about a form of doctrine. Or the Apostle Paul knew about a pattern in the first century. Well, my question is, who did this pattern relate to? And what did it relate to? Well, the what, of course, is Christianity. Well, how was it related to Christianity? Who, in regard to Christianity, was it associated with? Well, Paul says this pattern, this form of teaching, was something that needed to be obeyed. Well, who needed to obey this form or this pattern? Was it a Christian or was it a non-Christian? Well, as you look at the verse, the first part of the passage says these people had been servants of sin. So when we think about that, we know who's being described. Paul is discussing a non-Christian. And he says there was a pattern, there was a form of doctrine, there was a blueprint that these people obeyed. And part of the pattern is obedience from the heart. Today, to hear some people tell the message of the cross, whether they're in the church or out of the church, the idea is from them that God does not require obedience. All that we need is a good heart, have faith and an interest in going to heaven, and that's okay. God says that's not right. That's not his plan or from his word. We do need a good heart. But the Bible also says we need an obedient heart. And an obedient heart is one that obeys God's pattern. I've had religious discussions with folks, and I know that many of you have had these same kinds of conversations where a person, as we're studying, will go through the whole plan, faith, repentance, confession, and baptism. And the individual looks at me and they say, I have done everything that is on the list. Need faith? I have had faith. You need to repent? I've repented. You need to confess Christ? You need to be baptized? I have done it all. And when I've pointed out to them, and again, you've probably had this experience as well, God has a specific order. He has a specific series of steps to take. Well, it really doesn't matter. As long as we get the steps in there somehow, there may have been a year in between my faith and baptism, but it doesn't matter because I was baptized at some point. Is that what we find in Romans 6:17? Paul says that for the person who is not a Christian, there is a pattern to be obeyed. There is a form of doctrine. Stated another way, there is a specific series of steps, and that is faith, repentance, confession, and baptism. And when and only when people obey that pattern, the result in verse 18 occurs. Notice this, there's a pattern in verse 18 or 17, and then in 18 he says, and being made free from sin, ye became servants of righteousness. When we take the steps in the way that God has ordered them, we have forgiveness of sins. And our message to people needs to be, we either use the pattern that's been given by God, or we're using a pattern that's been given by man. And a human pattern will not save us. Well, the word we're studying occurs in the next book as well. We find it in Acts. We find it in Romans. It's also located in 1 Corinthians chapter 10. You can find it in both verse 6 and verse 11 of 1 Corinthians 10. Both of these passages are very similar, so I'm going only to read verse 10. Each verse refers to the people of Israel. The Hebrews had some unpleasant experiences. Many of them died because of sin, especially idolatry and fornication. In verse 6, here's how Paul uses the word. Now, these things were our examples, that's the same word, to the intent that we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted. Again, this is the same term that's found in Romans 6:17, Acts 7, 43, and 44. And here we find the word being used in conjunction with bad behavior. The Bible says we have a pattern for bad behavior. Now, that's not a pattern that we follow in the sense that we do what these people did, but we have a negative pattern. God says here is a way to go that is going to lead away from me and lead away from eternal life. It's going to lead to destruction. If we follow this model, we will be consumed. So as we look at this passage, does it not appear that this particular term tells us something about the Scriptures? Are we not able to conclude from 1 Corinthians 10:6 that they are a map, they are a pattern, they are a blueprint, they are a guide, they are a model? Yes, they are. From Romans 6:17, we can conclude that they are a blueprint for conversion. As you look at 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 6, you find that they are a negative model for Christian living. They show us which way is wrong. So we would say, as we look at this word tupas, that the map that we have in the Bible is partly negative. Sometimes we need to be told that there is a road, there is a path that you don't want to follow because it's not a good way to go. And the Scriptures do that as well. We're shown how not to live. Someone might say, well, all of those things sound right. Can you show that the Bible is a positive pattern? Yes, I can. Let's move from 1 Corinthians 10 to another place where the term occurs, Philippians chapter 3. We're not going to be looking at all 16 of the places where the word is used, but we will, in my mind, be looking at the key verses, the verses that we need to have an intelligent discussion on this point with other people. In Philippians 3, and especially in this part of the letter, Paul told the Philippians that he was pressing on towards the goal. He was trying to live a clean, good, wholesome Christian life. And in the first part of verse 17, he told the Philippians, I want you to imitate me. We'll read that, but the key part of the verse is just before verse 18. Brethren, be imitators together of me, and mark them that so walk, even as ye have us for an example. And there's the word. Paul said that in his Christian life, even others that he knew of, they were examples, tupas. Now, this apostle and his co-workers are no longer here. They have been gone for a long time. Even though they're gone, is it still possible for Paul and his co-workers to serve or function as an example? Can they still be a pattern? And the answer to that question is yes. We have in the Bible a number of details about them. Their lives, for the most part, are recorded in God's Word. And we have that information, and it does serve today for a pattern. It is a true guide from God. Gives us specific directives that we can and we need to abide by. The word has a similar usage in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 7. If you want an additional cross-reference, you can see how it's used there, and again, it is used in the same way. Well, these references that have been given cover the basics. The Bible says that we have a pattern for conversion, Romans 6, 17. We have a positive pattern for Christian living, Philippians chapter 3, verse 17. We have a negative pattern for Christian living, 1 Corinthians 10:6. What about another key area? Worship. That's one of the hot issues of our day and time. Has God given us a blueprint for worship? And really, you could add church organization and a couple of the things in here as well. Well, our next reference where this word is found comes from the book of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 8, verse 5. Earlier I said from Acts 7:44 that we would be introducing another passage which was quite similar to what Stephen had to say. We're now at that reference. Again, Acts 8, verse 5. Under the Old Testament, the Hebrew nation had been freed from captivity. They needed a new way to worship God. How were the people going to know what they needed to do? What was going to be their guide? Well, here's what the Hebrew writer says. Who serve that which is also a copy and shadow of the heavenly things, even as Moses is warned of God. Notice that. He was warned. Well, what was the warning about? To make the tabernacle, that portable place of worship, for see, saith he, that thou makest all things according to the pattern that was showed thee in the mount. Well, now again, we come to the same word, but in this particular place, it's not translated figure, it's not translated form, it's translated pattern. And that may get a little confusing, but in any of the passages that we have looked at, it is the same word, and it could be rendered pattern in any of these other verses. Moses was given a pattern by God. So there's no question that there was, under the Old Testament system, a pattern, a blueprint, when it came time for the tabernacle and all of the things involved there. How fully was God's pattern to be used? God said to Moses, he warned him first of all, and he warned him to do it according to all things. Everything. Moses was not allowed to selectively choose what he wanted to do. God was not interested in his input. God said, I have a pattern, I have a form, I have a way to do it, and this is what I require of you. I do not know. It puzzles me to the nth degree how anyone can look at the Old Testament and say it was not a pattern. If you're the least bit curious, take a moment sometime. Now is probably not the best opportunity, but take a moment and go back to the Old Testament and quickly skim through the information in Exodus 25. If you were to go back through Exodus 25 and read it, you would find the kind of details associated with the pattern. God was so specific, he said, use these colors. Use blue and purple and these other colors. And then God said, I want you to use certain woods. You can't go out and use any wood, but it needs to be this wood. Then God was specific about the animals. Detail after detail is found in Exodus 25. And then when you read through Exodus 25 and you get down to the end of that chapter, the Bible ends with a warning. And it says, do it like you were showed on the mountain. I gave you a pattern. And buddy, you need to heed it. Don't you go off on your own direction. You do it just like I have said. Somebody says, well, that was the time of Moses. Well, didn't God use a pattern before then? What about the time of Noah? As you look at Genesis 6:22 and also Genesis 7:5, the Bible says Noah did what? Remember, according to all that God commanded him. Was there a pattern? Huh? Yes, there was. God commanded him to do certain things, and the Bible says that Noah was obedient. Well, we're under a different testament. The Hebrew writer, staying with Hebrews chapter 8, but now moving down to verse 6, makes that point explicitly. But now hath he obtained a ministry the more excellent, by so much as he is also the mediator of a better covenant, which hath been enacted upon better promises. We have a better covenant, and we have a better set of promises. Can we have a better covenant without a pattern? Wrestle with that question for a minute. Can our system that is described in the New Testament be better if we are without a pattern? If the New Testament is not really a concrete guide, how can it be better? It's not. Denying the existence of a pattern in the New Testament presents some significant problems. How can we say, or how can the Bible say, there are false teachers if there's no pattern? I don't know how that can be done. How can the Bible repeatedly tell us to walk and live and do certain things if there's not a pattern? How can the New Testament say that there is one faith and one way if there's not a pattern? How could Jesus say he was going to build his church if there's no pattern? How can we identify that? God has given us a pattern. A single word shows that, and there are some related words that make that point real well. But all we need is this particular term. And when we look at the instructions from the past, God says we can learn. There's a pattern from history, 1 Corinthians 10, verse 6. And that pattern, as we look at Hebrews chapter 8, says a warning comes with it. We need to follow it, and we need to teach it. That pattern starts with becoming a Christian. There are a lot of people, even in the church, who are teaching different plans about conversion. Well, baptism, you know, who or when it occurred or what it was for. It really doesn't matter as long as you're immersed. That's false. Because the Bible says there is a step-by-step pattern, Romans 6, 17. And then once a person follows that pattern, the blueprint extends to Christian living and worship. I hope tonight that you're here because you love God and you want to know what that pattern is and you want to follow that in your day-to-day Christian life. You want to serve Him in that way and no other. If you have made that choice, you're doing your best to live by God's pattern, both from a negative and positive standpoint. That's the right choice. If you've not yet become a Christian tonight, there is that blueprint for you to follow that the Romans adhered to in Romans 6:17, and this evening you can do exactly what they did. Become a Christian just like the people did 2,000 years ago. Faith, repentance, confession, and baptism by immersion for the forgiveness of sins. If you've not taken those steps, tonight you can do it and you can know that you've done what God requires because that's what's stated in His Word. If you have and you're having some difficulties conforming to the pattern that's found in the New Testament, and we can encourage you, pray with you, help you in some way. If there's any way at all that we can assist you, will you not let us know tonight and now as we stand and sing?